I'm David Fair, and this is Washtenaw United on 89.1 WEMU. Our guest today is using education, mentoring, and personal and professional guidance to support and help those who are re-entering society in Washtenaw County after a period of incarceration. Cozine Welch is executive director of the nonprofit A Brighter Way, and thank you so much for joining us today, Cozine.
Thank you so very much for having me.
Before we get to some of the specifics of A Brighter Way, I'd like to explore how you got here. When you were 17, you were convicted of a crime and then served 20 years in prison. Do I have that right?
That's correct. 19 years and 9 months.
Was the crime a felony?
It was indeed.
Being a felon and not having a job can be a very difficult situation. You're 37 years of age at this time. You've been in longer than you have not in your life. You have a record, you're a black man, and facing an employment system that often discriminates against both. Additionally, the world has changed dramatically while you're away. How much did you fear actually leaving prison and coming back to the outside?
Well, you know, it's a very good question, because I think that's one thing that isn't talked much about, the fact that there is fear and there's so much uncertainty. I was fortunate enough in my personal situation to where I had supports, and so I also had a potential for having a life after prison, as they say. Because while incarcerated, I have been connected with the Prison Creative Arts Project at the University of Michigan. And so that's kind of where I sharpened my skill of my craft of writing poetry, because I was published about 11 times in a review that's released there every year. So it possessed the best writing of prisoners in Michigan correctional facilities. So I was able to have a support system before I returned that gave me a possibility of having some future. Now, what that future was uncertain. But again, we're talking about the ability to be able to network. So that is very important for folks who come home. So I was in a fortunate position where I made connections with the university. Dr. Ashley Lucas and Phil Christman was the manager, who is the editor of the Michigan Review of Prison Creative Writing. Because I had that connection, I had something to step into. I was fortunate enough to have my father, whom I could stay with, so I had housing. But as far as what I would do, I was very unsure and very uncertain. I had not a clue.
How important is passion in the success of your after-prison life?
I believe it's central, and it's funny because passion is such an ill-defined word, I think. I think we interchange it according to our own definition too many times, but I do believe it centers around some inner drive to attain something, or at the very least, not continue to be the victim of something, right? Whether that be your fear or what have you. I think it's primary in having any direction in a directionless condition, right? So coming home is very much this tenuous directionless position, whereas you have plans, but those plans are not guaranteed to actualize, right? You have so many societal barriers, so many structural barriers in place that make everything you do that much more difficult. But the passion is what's going to keep you going. It is a necessity. You have to have it for those moments when you are utterly lost. You are utterly lost. You don't know what the next step is. All you know is you have to be prepared for whatever it is, and that's where the passion comes.
This is Washtenaw United on 89.1 WEMU. We're talking with the executive director of A Brighter Way. His name is Cozine Welch. And through your experience being put in prison for almost two full decades, how did you experience the systemic racism that so many seem to miss?
The thing is that it's so subtle at times that even folks who are your allies are unaware of it.
And that's why I'm saying so many people miss the reality of it.
Because it's become so much a part of our regular Americanized culture. So you'll have someone who has a sincere intent to want to help those of us who are in this particular situation of being formally incarcerated. But they don't recognize that you can have to do more than just be willing to lend a hand. You have to be willing to understand and learn. You have to learn about this particular culture of people that you have not had the close proximity to understand, but you recognize their struggle. You recognize that you want to be a part of assisting them in that struggle, but you also have to recognize that you have to learn the people and the culture, right? And it's only through that we get out of this structural racism that so many of us fall into by default, the fact that it's just the way our systems work in America. I think that is one thing I have noticed that tends to assist folks in understanding and recognizing how to be real allies, because it creates proximity. So in our work, we always are talking about this idea of proximity and how the networking and connections are what actually bridge those gaps. So we're raised in independent situations. We're raised in separate towns, separate cities, separate socioeconomic environments. But yet we have a commonality that we are all human beings. And we are all here trying to make community and try to further ourselves and each other. So what that means is that we have to learn more about each other. And that typically happens when we are able to engage in conversation. We are able to exchange ideas and are accepting of everyone. That's one thing I love about teaching at the University of Michigan in our Prison Creative Arts Project. I co-teach a couple of classes up there where we teach students how to facilitate workshops in correctional facilities. And what makes that so important is these are students who come from a background that is not connected to incarceration. Yet they find connection by actually getting to know people. It's the communications that happens in the workshops and the exchanges of workshop materials that allows that gap to be bridged. When I'm out here speaking in Ann Arbor or Ypsilanti to folks who are allies but want to know how they can help, it is those communications, right, breaking down those barriers, but also how we bridge that gap by learning more about each other and focusing more on what we have in common, what seems to be an obvious difference, but actually isn't, right? At the base, we're all people who are trying to figure out how to live full, successful, and fulfilling lives, both for ourselves and the environments in which we stay. I hate to use the word ignorance, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you have folks who just do not understand because they haven't had, again, the proximity. That's how you do it, through communications, through sharing of ideas and thoughts and history.
So taking that perspective, how exactly does your organization make that available to them in that engaged way that will make a difference?
Well, I think what we do is we recognize that it takes a team approach. So just because someone has a mentor does not mean that that mentor is the sole person that that mentee has to rely on. The mentor is more like an organizer, a daily checkup or a weekly checkup, however the mentee and mentor have arranged their communication. But the mentor also is there to provide the mentee other resources. So as an example, a person comes to a Brighter Way, and part of our structural programming is, of course, one-on-one mentoring, referral to mental health services, and now a couple of new programs such as the Returning Citizens Fellowship, et cetera, that allow a mentee to set an action plan. And now this action plan now obviously brings ABW and our resources into it. So now we can see, okay, and a mentee fills out their intake, a mentor and a mentee go over the intake and start working out what would be an action plan for this mentee and also what resources are available right now at ABW direct disposal and referred disposal to allow that mentee to work that action plan.
We're talking with the Brighter Way Executive Director, Cozine Welch, as part of our Washtenaw United Black History Month series. Now, Cozine, yours is one heck of a story, but you also strike me as someone who really shines most when you see others succeed and turn a corner in life. What is your favorite success story from your work at Brighter Way?
Wow, that's a really great question. Okay, so I'll tell you one. I had a conversation with the mentee, and it was something simple as putting together an electronic component on a stereo receiver. Now, what makes it so significant is this particular mentee is very intimidated by technology. We're talking decades confinement in the correctional facility and not having access, right? But I had a moment with this mentee where they were beaming with pride and explained to me how their complete self-top stereo system worked, the components of it, the different functions, why the speakers went into this input as opposed to this other one, how the auxiliary cord worked and how you cycle through the functions. They were understanding graphic user interfaces in a way that was new to them and helped them understand now. And they started talking in excited tones about a new app on their phone. That's one that comes to mind right now because it happened last week, so it's really fresh in my heart. But that's an example of some of the things that make me the most happy. Now, of course, obviously that this person does not suffer housing insecurity now. They have employment, right? They're able to look at what their future might be in the next 2, 4, 6 months. Those things are wonderful. And those things are the base things that we strive here as an organization to make sure that our mentees have. We want to make sure they have independent security and autonomy as much as possible. Those are the things, because now I know this person is going to learn even more exponentially now because that fear barrier has been removed because they've been able to have their own experience of understanding and removing that barrier. I was just there to support. We were just there to support, to allow the space for that to happen for that individual. So it's moments like that that make me the most happy because they are proof that a foundation is being laid, that real change is being made.
I love to hear that. I know others are going to love to hear that. However, there is still a societal kind of stereotype of someone who has been incarcerated. What would you like us to know about the people you are working with?
Because our country has so much potential, I like to give folks an example that attaches to a common theme we have in our country, and that is in the realm of entrepreneurship. We teach entrepreneurs and business folks in this country that you're going to have to fail, and that those of you who are successful are those of you who have failed the most. I would like folks to recognize that that applies to human beings. As we grow and learn, we make mistakes. Unfortunately, some of us have been in situations where our mistakes have weighed much more weight upon us than others. But like everyone else, we need the space to grow and learn from that mistake, and also to bump our heads as we travel. If someone comes home from prison and they are going to be successful, then they have to be exceptional to take tragedy and transform it into triumph. I would argue that though that is great, what we really need is for someone to just have the space to learn, to make a mistake and learn more, to take the lessons learned from that mistake and apply it forward so those mistakes won't be made again. But I would caution folks to give those of us, give us time, give us space, give us the opportunity to learn the lesson on our own, make the mistake, and not fear as if we're going to be ostracized or permanently erased from societal culture if we don't do everything absolutely perfect the first time after coming home from 10, 20, 30, or 40 years of incarceration.
Cozine, I want to thank you for the time today. It has been a real privilege to hear your message.
Thank you so much for having me.
That is Cozine Welch, the Executive Director of A Brighter Way. To find out more about the organization and its work, and to access the Washtenaw United Archive, visit our website at WEMU.org. Washtenaw United is produced in partnership with the United Way of Washtenaw County and is heard every Monday. I'm David Fair, and this is your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.